Yes, y'all. Welcome in to another episode of the Dumb Marks Podcast. It's your boys, your favorite Saturday brunch bunch, back at it again. Gentlemen, it's that time of year. Christmas Eve, Festivus 3 is upon us. Let the bitching and griping commence. Hey. How's everybody doing? How's everybody feeling? We good? We living life?
I think let's ask that question at the end after we get all the bitching off of our chest. Well, see if that helps anybody.
That's true. Mason, you look like you got sun coming in your house right now. What's going on? I was gonna say, you're a little squinty eyed over there. I don't know if you were high or you just know are that allergic to sunlight that your eyes won't open all the way because it's a little bright out there.
Sunlight in this morning, man.
Sunlight and it's morning. The two negatives.
It's 11 o'clock. It's not morning anymore.
It's morning. I just got up. It's morning.
All right.
How it's enough noon till actually noon. So
That's right. Everybody good? Everybody feeling all right?
Doing all right.
Yeah. Merry early Christmas to everybody. Happy holidays out there. However you celebrate with family and friends, make sure you enjoy it. Don't know what's on the list for you guys for the rest of the weekend, but to you and your family, enjoy it. Don't live it up too much. Be safe out there, but have some good time. Kick your feet up, relax, eat good, drink good, and overall be merry. Is anybody getting any coal this year for Christmas?
I got my gifts already. No coal, so.
No coal. Okay. Yeah. And not Michael Cole. I meant Cole Cole.
I'd give that one back.
Getting Michael Cole as a Christmas present for Chris would be hilarious.
That is the equivalent of real coal.
All right. Well, you know the drill. Festivus 3 is here. The airing of grievances for everything that was this past year. I will say for me coming into today, this is going to be a hard episode for me to get through because I'm positive Pete over here right now. Okay. It was a great weekend pro wrestling. It was a great weekend general. Got to work from home all week. My son came back on his 2 week leave. So, he came in Monday, got a bunch of family coming over the next couple of days. So I'm in a joyous, joyful mood. We'll see if one of Ian's jagoffs can bring me down. I know the Steelers kick off at 4:30, and that'll probably dampen my Saturday, because they're the drizzling shits right now. I wonder how much you can get a ticket for online to go to the game. I hope it's not as bad as Carolina last week when they were offering tickets for $4.
Yeah, it was $4. Two sad teams, but then plus they had that hurricane monsoon down there.
It looked like the COVID bowl. Like there was nobody in the crowd. Like you could hear the ushers yelling out Miller Lite. That's how bad it was down there. It was crazy.
The dude from Pittsburgh go down because you could always hear him whenever he's going. Yeah.
Legend. That guy's an absolute legend.
Yes, like, he is.
One of the people that if I could come back as somebody else just to enjoy life, I think he would be up there on my list. As far as like Pittsburgh folklore goes, he would definitely be up there on my list.
Interesting take.
I wanted to kick him down the steps the one day when I went to the game.
My man's out there trying to work, sell beers. Like, you can't.
He called me Cutco Chris. He called me Cutco Chris.
Damn.
Yeah. Are you sure he got Coco Chris confused with Coco Beware? Is that what he was trying to go for?
Nah, he was. He called me Coco Crisp to my face.
And he survived.
Yeah, that middle light was about to get shoved up something.
And there's our first grievance.
No, but I'm blessed this year. New opportunities for me came about in the last quarter of the year here. So I'm diving headfirst into those, excited for 2024 with what I got on the JOB aspect of it. The pod has been great. We appreciate everybody rocking and rolling with us. We got some numbers back for the year. So thank you guys. Hopefully we continue to put out entertaining and engaging content over the upcoming year. With a few twists and turns, possibly, depending on how we feel, and discuss that in the Dumb Marks office after hours here. So yeah, where you guys want to go? You kick it off. You take me down the negative road, and I'll see if I'll join in on the bandwagon here.
Ring of Honor Women's TV title.
Titles. That was gonna be that one was
on my list too.
Yes. I just wanted to get. I just wanted to see if I can get Steve. That's it.
With the announcement that was made, I don't understand it. I don't get it. Why do we need it? It's not necessary.
It's not.
Just another title. Another title.
Putting a belt on somebody doesn't mean that you're doing good booking.
Exactly.
Agreed.
Although, with this new addition, I believe total belt-wise, AEW / Ring of Honor is now up to 13 total titles. And WWE across Raw, SmackDown, and NXT has 14. If those numbers are correct, somebody can fact check that. But
I don't count NXT into WWE's total just because that's different. But
so you're not counting ROH into AEW's total?
If there was actually a split, I would consider them separate. But what's the difference between Ring of Honor and AEW television? So I factor them all in because they use them on all the brands. So.
Yeah, we touched base on that a little bit, recapping the Ring of Honor pay-per-view last week while you were off, but
I heard you said that it was a good pay-per-view. I don't know if I
it really was. Taekwondo. is that your Festivus grievance? Is brother getting baptized? That'll do it for you?
That was discussed internally this week between us too. So
yeah,
I didn't know he was ordained to help baptize.
he showed up like Shawn Michaels in the all white against Vince's God. Like it was
surprised he wasn't in no yellow and red.
No. Right?
Yeah.
Hey, look, I got baptized in blue thermal, so
surprised it wasn't a black sweatsuit.
Why you went to the beach?
ROH, the women's TV title. Who's even on the ROH women's roster?
Two people.
I mean, I can name Willow. Like maybe three people.
Athena, Billy, and Mercedes.
Now I know, like, I think Taya came back.
Willow's on.
On Dynamite. Yeah. AEW.
Yeah, Willow floats. I know Taya came back. You got Lady Frost. Shout out Lady Frost, local Pittsburgh. I'm expecting big things from her in 2024. She's had a great year. So be on the lookout for her next year. I really think she has the potential to break out.
But she's already the champ, Ty. I mean, she is the division down in Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
So just give her a belt so she can be two belts.
Wouldn't surprise me.
A to B.
I'm going to step off.
Athena, two belts. Yeah. I don't know, man. It's sad because, like I said, the pay-per-view was good. Even though a lot of the shit was thrown together last minute.
How many talents were actually AEW talents on that pay-per-view?
Well, therein lies the rub.
Just like the last one, too.
Yeah. Therein lies the rub. Like, I think they really have the potential to split out rosters and actually make it a very compelling show if they choose to do so. But the... Much like we say WWE, the draft doesn't matter. Well, it's an AEW. It's ROH and AEW don't matter. It's all blended in one. So that's one of the things I hope for in 2024. Can we get some separation and some distance and actually farm out these rosters and put on a cohesive ROH-driven show where it's just talent on ROH. Yeah. If you want to sprinkle them in every now and again on these quarterly specials that you do to get some more eyes on them so people go over to ROH, cool. I got no problem with that. But let's not just continuously float your bigger names in AEW over to ROH, you know, for pay-per-views and title matches only shown on AEW just to keep the ROH name afloat and out there.
Yeah. And if they're going to be doing these events just on Honor Club instead of doing them as actual pay-per-view events.
Well, we got breaking news. We got breaking news. Somebody needs to fact check this, but it's coming from a reliable source. All Japan Club, WWE. Okay, so now this is very interesting because we talked about last week on the show with the nine, the Fantastic Nine, or whatever, however you want to label them, in Japan Wrestling uniting and collaborating together to put on that show in May. But eight, you know, All Japan, maybe they're left out of that nine. You know, they're working much like CMLL and AAA, you know, them and New Japan haven't had the greatest of relationships. Thanks for the source dropping the link in the comments for the actual release there. So yeah, hey, look, Hunter's back in charge. And what was Hunter doing? What was Hunter's plans before COVID?
Worldwide.
Mm-hmm. Worldwide. He wanted NXT
the territory Germany, system.
NXT,
yep.
NXT UK, NXT Japan. India. And if this is their foot in their door, you know, to get Japan over there and be a piece of that and work with them consistently, I'm not mad at it at all.
Because what is it? What are they calling it? NXT Europe is the next version. That's supposed to come sometime in 2024. So
now my question to this is, All Japan's working relationship with WWE, will it benefit them more than New Japan's with AEW?
Benefit who? Which one?
Benefit All Japan. Oh, WWE don't need the benefit.
Yeah. All Japan, yeah. That's more eyes for sure.
Depends on how they use them too.
It's still eyes. Eyes they never had.
I feel like Tony Khan just came in to collaborate with all these promotions to sign away top talent.
Never thought of it that way.
He's becoming look
at the people that have signed since he started working with Impact, with AAA, with New Japan. I mean, he's in there, he's talking to people and he's signing away top talent.
Yep.
Even NWA during COVID time.
Mm-hmm. He's becoming Vinnie Mac.
Now, like, if you're another promotion out there, are you even wanting to work with Tony Khan when you look at that track record over the last 2 years? I'm not. You're not coming in and leaving, you know, taking my top five or six talent out and leaving me bare bones, buck naked out here in the streets.
I mean, I think he's working with everybody at this point. I don't see any other company working with them. Is what he's got AAAI and he's even got CMLL now down next.
Yeah, and I don't know how the hell he pulled that off.
Yeah.
Sat a boat down was like, look.
I think that had to have probably been something with New Japan, with his agreement with them, because New Japan works with CMLL.
Yeah, I mean, we saw Andrade return to CML for the first time since he left. So, you know, that'll allow him to work with, it's just.
So I was going to bring this up later, but seeing as we're kind of talking about Japanese wrestling right now, did you guys see that Tanahashi's the new president of New Japan?
Mm-hmm. Yes, he was. It was announced yesterday, new president. The ace of New Japan is now running the show.
They're supposed to have a press conference on the 26th to give more information. And then they said also in the statement, he'll make it an official announcement at Wrestle Kingdom.
To keep a card there.
Possible.
So is he going to be done now in ring? I mean, I know he was coming towards the end of his run anyways.
Yeah. Was Jeff Jarrett done when he started TNA?
But yeah, but what's the age of Tanahashi compared to Jarrett whenever TNA started? Jarrett was still in his, what, 30s?
I don't remember. I don't know. I mean, if this is it, okay.
Okay.
You know, hopefully you get like at least a one-off. Yeah. You know, give him a final rub match. And...
Or he could be like Hunter, you know, once in a while, just come back.
Yeah, that too.
How he was.
Break glass when needed.
Exactly.
Does it benefit New Japan to have him running the show?
In the press release, I didn't know he had a law degree. You know, I didn't know that about him. So he must have some sort of business sense. So they see something in him. I'm interested in seeing where this goes. If he's going to be just running the business end, or if he's going to have the pencil too. You know, if that's gonna change anything. Like if he's going to be like Hunter and just kind of running the day to day.
They got to do something to kind of close off the floodgates.
Yeah.
I feel like you had a lot of top talent leave within like the last 10 years, right? Mm-hmm. Not even just looking at this last year, but since 2016, whenever there was like that first mass exodus, right?
Yeah. That was not the translation time.
But I feel like they were once the hottest brand. Mm-hmm. And now it's like Wrestle Kingdom is 2 weeks away, and I don't see no excitement for it. Even though the card looks good.
I'm excited for the card, but...
But, you know, it's not that... There's not that hype behind it like there was. And that's because of... Look who's no longer there.
Yeah.
So, if you're going to bring him in to stabilize the ship and maybe potentially, you know, draw some newer up-and-coming talent over to New Japan... Because I still feel like New Japan and just Japan wrestling in general is still on a bucket list for a lot of wrestlers. Mm-hmm. I mean, hell, you still hear Danielson talk about wanting to be in the G1. That's why they're doing this, you know, tournament that they're doing now. So I still believe Japan's a destination. They've tried being more global with New Japan Strong, but that's kind of gone by the wayside here the last later half of this year.
I was going to bring that up with when we were talking about the Ring of Honor belts. They're merging all the strong titles together now with New Japan belts, so that's completely going away.
You saw the stuff with the women. You know, Mercedes getting hurt, having to pivot to Willow. I think that kind of derailed plans for that because I've figured she would have been front and center on this U.S. push with New Japan Strong. So they've had some string of bad luck in regards to that. So maybe you get, you know, the ace in there to right the ship and get it back on a course where you get buzz and excitement and people are waking up at 3 a.m. to watch, you know, a 7-hour Wrestle Kingdom. Because you had that not that long ago.
Yeah.
So... We'll see. It is interesting. It's one of those things to keep an eye on in 2024. You know, hey, it's fresh blood always the key. You know, is it always best for business? Maybe, potentially. But I feel somebody that has been the savior of New Japan Pro Wrestling for as long as he has been, and he stepped up and delivered and kept that company going, to have him be the guy to kind of pick up and take the baton and run with it, I'm not mad at it at all. I think it's a smart decision on their point, and kind of go and see where it leads them.
Yeah, I'm interested in seeing what he does different next year with New Japan, if there's anything different.
All right. So we got the ROH TV women's title announcement, just as announcing more belts in general as one of the grievances from this year. What else you guys have on your Festivus grievance list?
I'm going to piggyback off of something that was, you know, we were talking about Ring of Honor. The brand needs more designation. Something that they've been doing this past few weeks that's confused me that we need a little more clarification on the brand is Stokely's the GM of Ring of Honor, but yet Tony Khan keeps coming out on Ring of Honor like he's the guy. Like, I get he's the owner, but if Stokely's your GM, why isn't he the one announcing the new title? Why isn't he the one doing the contract signings?
Because Tony Khan wants all the adulation.
From all the glory.
From that fan base to just keep him up on the pedestal. And it's like, why was Stokely on Rampage last night messing with Statlander? Trying to drive a wedge in between her and Willow. Like, I didn't understand that at all. You haven't seen him on AEW programming in how long?
Mm-hmm. Kristen.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Stokely's great. I love Stokely. The more I can see him on my TV, the more entertained that I am, because he's hilarious.
Yeah.
So, but what's he doing on Rampage? And Statlander hasn't once been mentioned in with ROH.
Can I address Tycoon real quick?
Yes, you can.
The only thing in New Japan I praise is the tables. That's it. The tables are strong. That's good. I don't watch New Japan. I show up whenever they say food's here. So that's the only New Japan I see. Sorry. You wouldn't get no good contribution from me out of that.
The tables are strong.
That's what they mean by strong style, huh, Jason? Tables ain't gonna break.
Jason was like,
old. Like, you ain't gonna slander me. Yeah.
Yeah. 120 characters or less describe New Japan. Strong tables and red shoes. That was literally Jason's.
There you go.
And did Jason remember red shoes?
I remember red shoes. Okay. I didn't need the names.
Okay. You're like, I ain't gonna take all this slander. Hold up.
I'm surprised Jason's grievance isn't Taekwon.
I don't know, man. It's
that promotion has a lot to work out. A lot.
Tony just needs to stay away from Ring of Honor.
Yes.
Ain't you worried about Trevor Lawrence's concussions right now? You think that would be on top of his mind?
But, like, the last couple of weeks, though, like, I've enjoyed the programming. I enjoyed Dynamite last week, Collision last week. You know, the women's street fight was awesome. Loved it. I enjoyed Dynamite this week. I enjoyed Rampage last night, surprisingly enough. Collision tonight, I get an early Christmas present. I got big meaty men slapping big meat. And Brian Cage talked about big meat slapping last night.
You're doing an extra words. How can I make it more grand? Big meaty, big back meat. Man.
The biggest of meat.
Slapping big meat.
There's a whole lot of pause in this conversation.
I got Brian Cage and Keith Lee going tonight. Like that has me ready. That's all I need to tune into Collision is for that. Because both of them are athletic as hell and can do some holy shit stuff. So let me at least see some holy shit stuff. So if I've enjoyed them the last couple of weeks. I think they've done a great job with the tournament. I don't mind the triple threat. For you know, one side of the bracket, it worked out good. Mm-hmm. I like the way they stacked the show to set it up. They made the main event mean something because Swerve opened and won, mm-hmm. so you knew mm-hmm. going into the main event it was either going to be him and Moxley or Jay White had the win, right? So mm-hmm. kudos to them for opening and bookending the show is great. You know,
Swerve has to win, right?
I've seen a lot of different people saying stuff as far as him losing and where he would go if he loses. If Eddie backdoors his way in, which is still a possibility, you have Kingston and Moxley in the finals. I think that fan base would go bananas for that match. Is that the match I want to see in the finals? Absolutely not.
What fan base? Kingston fans?
Just AEW fan base in general.
Kingston and Moxley, just say that to yourself. Chris, are you tuning in?
Hell no.
Don, are you tuning in?
Not at all.
I'm just saying.
Not at all.
But no, they've done a good job. They've done storylines in this tournament. Mm-hmm. They've sprinkled the devil storylines continuation. I gotta keep sliding them in there, Taquan. Slide them in there. See if you pick them up.
Well, they can have Swerve lose because of his interaction with MJF, which I am ready to see. That's good enough for me.
That was perfect.
Yes,
that was perfect on Wednesday night.
Which is good enough for me.
Yeah, you do contracts, I do signings. Mm-hmm. But you do tryouts, I sign contracts. I was like, oh, damn. And then MJF was like, why don't you pull them fake Flavor Flav gold teeth out your mouth when you talk to me? I was like, oh, it's spicy. It's spicy right now.
But those opened the door, and then Joe came out. And everybody was at a stare down. I'm like, okay.
But that's good storytelling. It's been progressed. There's been different layers to it. It's been sprinkled in. It's the best thing they've done all year from a storytelling standpoint. It's been this devil. Now, will the reveal pay it off? I don't know. But storyline-wise, it's the best thing they've done all year. Hands down.
It's something that makes you want to tune in to see what's going on with it. And that's what they've needed. They've needed a story like that.
Because that gets your audience to come back every single week. Even though this week's Dynamite dipped from an overall viewership standpoint, total numbers-wise, you're still getting people talking week to week, wanting to tune in to see what's next. So I know MJF has been battling that torn labrum. Don't know when and if he's going to get surgery on it. You know, does he drop the belt to Joe so he can go get the surgery? It would make sense, depending on how bad it is. You know, I'm surprised he was back this week. I thought they would have ran with the storyline of him being taken out, but and have him come back this week right before the pay-per-view. So,
but I got a tag team title thing next week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What, on Dynamite, right?
Yeah, against the Devil's Minions.
And but that's the other thing. Like, does the devil want the tag titles, or is he sending people out there
just to beat them up,
take the titles away? Like,
and then with all of it, then you have Wardlow's promo on MJF to throw in the mix too. It's like saying that his time's coming to an end. It's like, where is this going?
So I know initially it was like when we first started it. You know, 6 weeks ago, whatever the case was, it was, why the hell is MJF being called out by 9 dudes? And how is this going to work? But as it's progressed and as it's rolled out,
it's cutting
the
down.
Interactions with everybody and where everybody's been placed at, it's made sense from a storyline perspective. And it's led me to wanting to see different matches with MJF as far as who do I want to see beat him for the belt.
Yeah.
But Donald, like you said, Wednesday, Swerve hands down.
Yes, Swerve can lose the tournament now.
Hands down.
He's in now.
Do you want to see all these interactions addressed? Because if you say Joe takes the title, then you're cutting off. You might as well just end the storyline there.
Yeah. But that's where the injury
is.
That's where the injury aspect comes in. Like how much smoke and mirrors can you do with MJF from a health perspective to make it still be believable on TV? Right? Like is he gonna go out there and have a 25-minute match with Joe and tear the house down with a torn labrum? I don't think he can.
And there's the check for the week.
I told Taquan to slide in our DMs to give us his information. He hasn't done it yet. Taquan, clock's ticking. That deal expires 12/31.
Expires the same day as MJF's contract.
Yeah. There's no bidding war 2024.
Yeah. Warlow got stuff to finish with Hobbs first before he even looking at MJF for me. His story
when MJF first started with the title, like he was like trying to be that champion that never defended the belt. Like you could go back to something like that instead of having him defend everything constantly to keep him on TV.
See, I don't think you can do that now because he's a babyface champion. He started out as a heel champ, so that made sense. But he turned into a babyface with Cole, and now that's not what a babyface champ does. Babyface champ don't sit at home for 6 weeks and not defend the belt. Oh, here we go. Now look. Now this is a grievance. Okay, this is a grievance. All right. Put a deadline down to this dude, and now he wants to all of a sudden jump ship to a competing podcast network. I mean, granted, they're on 7 days a week. They got more shows and talent, but you're not getting a more entertaining show than you do with us here.
I thought you were like an AEW talent. You went across every show.
Aquan is the Brock Lesnar fan of podcast. He's in our show.
He's just everything.
He's on the Knuckleheads Network shows. He's all over the place.
Like, I appreciate Ty coming in every week on the show, but I'm pretty sure he looks more forward to Dave's shows than our shows. Just well, so he can fuck with Dave.
He can rattle Dave's K's and give pro to business for 6 hours. He's like a comedian that just travels to like smaller comedy clubs and tries out new material.
Just heckles.
See what jokes get over or not. And then I feel like he comes in here Saturday morning with all his best material and just unloads all over the place. Pause. So yeah, I don't. Back to your point though, Jay. I don't know what you do honestly with MJF in the belt right now, because, like I said, smoke and mirrors can only get you so far. So maybe you get through this pay-per-view and you can do some things, but Revolution's not until March 3rd. So do you really go January and February without having him defending the belt? No, did Pro for real block you? Pro's on his Dave Meltzer. He's in his feelings. He's just blocking people. So you got Revolution March 3rd. Like, can you go 2 full months doing smoke and mirrors to have him drop the belt at Revolution?
Maybe if he's still chat champ.
I don't know. Are they've been adding new pay-per-views in? Are they going to announce a January or February pay-per-view?
Look at this thing coming
in. Here's another grievance I got.
Come on.
Nate.
We're already down. Damn.
Extra kick.
It is.
Nate, we appreciate you rocking with us, okay? But we're not going to do this on Bungles and Steelers Saturday, okay?
Okay? Hours before the game.
That's what Nate the Great came in for.
Yeah. We got the St. Mick Magic with Mason Rudolph out there. He's going to drive our sleigh down the field. Okay. We're going to have a couple touchdowns. All right. And we're going to win and be 8-7. Mm-hmm. And then we'll be
take our playoff spot back.
I'm trying to talk myself into a win. I think we're going to get our doors blown off.
I think you just gave the locker room pep talk right there, Steve.
You hear Tomlin going up there?
I'm going to give it one drive and I'm out. That's my feeling now. Like
34-10.
Yeah.
Not us.
I become what Donald.
Is that a prediction or a spoiler, Donald?
Huh?
That's
my prediction for the game.
Look, all I know is I got 3 new bottles of whiskey, and I guarantee you one of those will be empty by the time the game's over. Smuggle mares. I don't know. Smuggle mares. We'll see.
They shut it down on that one.
Yeah, big problem.
We all just realized just how depressing the day is going to be. Yeah, that moment, that moment of silence. We were just
it is.
Thanks, Nate. Speaking of storylines and new things on the horizon for 2024, did you catch SmackDown last night?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about Karrion Kross and his new stable?
I totally
You know who's in the stable, right?
Yeah.
AOP.
Which I actually like those four together. It makes sense from a presentation standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
They can come in and fuck shit up. Like,
have a big something.
Yeah. Yeah. They can come in and fuck shit up. In AOP,
can Karrion fuck shit up? Can we finally do something with him?
That's where I'm at. I fell off board. Like, when he first came back, when Hunter re-signed him, I was like, okay, maybe
get him something. Yeah.
He was hitting that Roman, and I was like, okay, do something. Then you just like flicking cards at Rey Mysterio, and you're nowhere to be seen. So I was like, I'm out.
I think given his presentation in NXT and what Hunter did with him down there, if this is the start of him actually getting a storyline push and being progressed to something, mm-hmm. I have way more faith with Hunter behind him than if the old regime was there.
Oh, for sure.
And like we always say,
you put that mask back on.
Yeah. You can't push everybody at the same time, right? No. And right now, SmackDown is loaded. Absolutely loaded. You got LA Knight, who's hotter than fish grease. AJ's back. Orton's there. You got Roman, when you have Roman. KO. You got, you know, Escobar in his new stable now with the rebrand of Legado, which we called on this show a couple weeks ago.
I missed that. What happened there?
So he faced Lashley in the semifinals of the U.S. tournament, and he beat him with some shenanigans from Garza and Umberto.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So that's the new Legado.
Okay.
They had masks on in the ring, and then they took them off when it was going up the ramp.
Yeah.
I'm cool with that.
Aesthetically looking, I like the I like the look.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like the look. So you got a new stable and faction there to move forward. KO's still there. Carmelo and him last night. To me, that showed Melo can be on the main roster and work with anybody.
Yep.
Now, granted, KO is a different breed because KO is KO and he's one of those guys.
Yeah.
So, you know, but that's two matches, two showings, and Melo's got endorsed from everybody in the fucking company, past, present, and future, this last year.
But if you can have a good match with KO, and KO can have a good match with anybody, like you were kind of alluding to there, but that's not a bad stamp to have.
No, you had him and Waller last week with Donald. You went into that's your future that you can hang on for the next 10 years. And then you have him go out there with an established guy this week, tear the house down and lose, but look better in defeat than what he would have did if he would have won. So SmackDown is extremely loaded right now.
I will say bell to bell, I enjoyed SmackDown just last week or yesterday. Just like in ring wise, straight
through. It was a great
show. It was good. Yes, it was.
That's fine that it's loaded because you're coming up on Mania season here. You got to have a reason to tune in. So let it be a loaded show for the next few months.
Yeah.
That's where my grief is coming at. Have better builds for your bigger shows.
Yeah. Yes.
For your bigger shows.
And go home shows.
Yes. Have stories going in, all in. To your big shows, just don't throw no shit together like at the last minute. Like, oh, we got a match right here. oh, we got a match right there. No. Every single match from Rumble, Mania, and all like your big shows should be loaded with story.
So is this just a WWE thing, or is this a cross pro wrestling grievance?
This is a cross pro wrestling. Like all your big shows have to have stories going in for a match. So whenever one match is done, I want to see the video on how this began, like the next match. How did we get here?
I'm loving it. We're all like that.
Wrestling. You just want the recap. You just don't want to. You don't want to put in the work. Give it to me, Cliff Notes.
Well, no, I mean, if you think back to like the bigger shows, you know, during the Attitude Era and all that, like even when you had like your openers, like whenever it was say like D'Lo versus Jeff Jarrett for the European title, there was still a story with them, even though it was the European title, which was way down the card, right? Like you had stories for each match on a pay-per-view. Pay-per-view wise, I absolutely agree. There shouldn't be just thrown together matches on a pay-per-view because pay-per-views are supposed to mean something. They're supposed to be blow-offs of feuds ending and then new feuds starting to carry you to the next pay-per-view.
Do you remember
like booking 101?
Do you remember like back in the day, like, and I'll even say like early 90s to like through the Attitude Era or whatever, like me especially, I had FOMO if I missed a Big Four event. Like, what am I going to miss if I miss this pay-per-view? Yeah. And it's just like, I don't feel that way anymore. Yeah. Like,
I think
that one maybe is Mania, that Rumble and Mania I might feel that way about. But everything else, it's just like, if I miss that, I'll catch up.
I think that feeling went away when they went to 12 and then 24 and then 26 pay-per-views a year.
Yeah.
They put on a pay-per-view every 3 weeks, and it was like, I don't need to watch the pay-per-view because we're 3 weeks into this.
It went away with your access. So now if you don't have to watch. You can catch the clip of what happened right after the pay-per-view goes off. You don't feel like you missed anything. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you can watch a pay-per-view on Twitter, essentially. Yeah. Hit the refresh. Like,
if you missed out on wrestling, you missed out, and you had to listen to somebody else tell you about it, the worst.
But you had to wait till the VHS came out, which was like months or like years later.
But I do think even though content is sped up to where you get it instantaneously now, I think if you have the less is more approach as far as pay-per-views go, you would get that feeling back, Chris, because you have more of a story being built into the show where it's like, okay, I gotta watch this because I have no idea what's going on.
Which is how I kind of felt when AEW first started, you know, because they gave you such great build up to those pay-per-views. Yes. And then it's just like, I gotta watch this. And then now they're doing a pay-per-view a month and it's just like, why? I'm not spending $50 on that. Like, why am I gonna watch that one?
And their stuff is thrown together.
Yeah.
It's like watching an episode of Dynamite.
Which is why I didn't watch Ring of Honor. Like, even though it was only $10 on Honor Club, you know, it's just like it was just completely thrown together. Like I didn't really care to watch that.
Yeah, I think there was like maybe two out of all the matches on Ring of Honor Final Battle. I think two of them were like actual storyline matches. Yeah, Tony Nese and Ethan Page in the I Quit match, and then Athena and Billy Starks. Mm-hmm. I think other than that, it was, you know, Joe dropped the belt, so we're gonna have a multi-man match to crown a new ROH TV champ. Then Kingston adds his belt into this classic Continental Classic tournament to combine into three new belts into one belt. So he's turning the Wrestling Infinity Gauntlet stones. And so that wasn't on the show. Like, you know, you had the Danielson and the BCC against Briscoe and FTR. Like, a lot of it was, like you said, just thrown together week of. To fill out a card, but the two matches that had story-based incentive behind them were two of my more favorite matches of the night.
Mm-hmm. Now, the build-up right now to, I'd say, for TNA Hard to Kill, I'm looking forward to that because I'm interested in seeing what they do, you know, rebranding and everything. So I'm looking forward
to that. That's a can't-miss show. It's a can't-miss show because it's the relaunch of TNA. It's a can't-miss show because you want to see what surprises they have. It's a can't-miss show because Scott D'Amore is signing talent left and right, and he's been on a press run and promoting, hey, listen, we bookmark a bunch of money for a big talent, and we're right there about to sign and cross the goal line to arguably one of the biggest signings in TNA, period.
I'm very interested in seeing who this is.
So if you're talking about one of the biggest signings in TNA, period, when you go back and look at, say, a Kurt Angle,
mm-hmm.
or you look at the time, even Christian Cage, when he flipped and went over, like, you're talking about Sting coming in. Like, you're talking about those types of names. So who's out there that you're going to sign that's on that level?
He had one.
Thank God it's not Matt Riddle, who went back to MLW.
Yeah.
He had one in 1994. He's going to have one in 2024. Hit that Jimi Hendrix music.
He's already signed. He already signed the TNA.
The comeback. Oh, no. It's not Hulkamania no more because he got baptized. It's
heavenly hurt.
He signed a new contract this past week. So.
Heavenly Hulk.
No, but that, like, that's a can't miss show. Like,
yeah. Donald, I'm with you on this for the pay-per-views. And I had this in my notes, but the part that's different is we need to stop with two-night events too. Like, yes. You know, yes. I'm tired of the WrestleMania two nights and the All In one weekend, All Out the next weekend, because I'll count that as a two-night show with a week apart. It's too much. Like, and there was no build.
Yeah,
what was that one?
Wrestle Kingdom.
I think they got away from that this year. So, but yeah, they were doing that too.
You remember they were pushing three nights with New Year's Day. They did
do that, yeah. That was terrible. They've always had the back-to-back nights, but it was like, and I don't count it as a back-to-back night because it was like WrestleMania, then the Raw after Mania.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's like, what it felt like, the follow-up to it. Like,
yeah. Yeah, so it's like you, like they always did Wrestle Kingdom, then they did the New Year Dash the next day, and that was like where new talent came in and all that. It's like, and I'm always cool with that. You know, that's not a problem, but yeah, the actual... Whenever you're taking one event or whatever and building it to be a weekend, it's too much. It, especially for WrestleMania, it just loses like that, just that specialness that WrestleMania had that you look forward to every year.
And after seeing that, and after seeing, you know, the two nights and being there for, you know, two WrestleManias on one night, I would have preferred a one night than getting back up, doing it again and all that stuff. Just give me everything on one night.
Like
not a New York night. they I don't know how many matches they had on that card. Don't keep it short and sweet. This is Hunter's era. He likes things short and sweet. Let's
get back to that.
Well, then that's where you get back to, like, you know, the build and the better, you know, the story stuff. You know, stories that matter will be on your big show.
Like I'm hoping, you know, you're building this as WrestleMania XL, you know, for the 40th anniversary. Let this be the last two night, you know, go out with a bang, but you know,
it's too much money now.
Too much money, man.
It's like Nick Khan with the fourth hour Raw he wants.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think it's going to shit. Nick would probably do three or four nights of WrestleMania, but like, I know like TKO keeps talking about like, maybe we could do like these mega weekends, you know, have a UFC fight and then do like a WWE event. That would be the perfect thing for WrestleMania. Put that back to one. Since it's under one banner, you're still having two nights, but it doesn't matter now. Like it's all under the same card.
Would you mix the crowds?
That'll be two different crowds.
That
crowds aren't gonna. You may have more wrestling fans.
Hey, you want to see a UFC? You want to see a UFC fan get beat up?
Take this steel chair right now.
You may know it's a warlock, but I know what's this shit.
Until I hit you with that schoolboy.
It would benefit UFC more because I could see the transition of more wrestling fans to UFC than UFC fans to wrestling.
Yeah.
But that may be that may be on the extreme end of the spectrum too, because I think extreme and fan base wise, neither one is going to cross over.
Talent wise, would it benefit WWE more?
So we heard Dana White talk about this whenever the announcement was finalized and the was complete. You know, he said, "Listen, they do what they do, and they're great at what they do, but nobody does what we do, and it's you're not going to see a whole lot of crossovers and people moving from one side of the fence to the other, especially from WWE to UFC. Now, are you able to do more UFC guys in WWE?" Potentially, yeah, but based on like wrestling background and martial arts and having, you know, timing and footing and all that other stuff that goes into it. But you're not going to see a whole lot of that cross branded with talent moving from one side of the fence to the other. It's just two completely different sports. Yeah.
They don't know how to take bumps.
I mean, I can see it like if a UFC talent is done, sliding over to WWE. But not vice versa, you know. Like he was like, you know, my career, either I'm gonna hang it up, or I'm just not where I'm at on the card in the UFC. Slide over to WWE.
One I'm interested in seeing if they slide over is like whenever WWE was trying to poach Daniel Cormier and to become a SmackDown announcer. It's like, well, we see something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm okay with announcers in ring. No, I'm not. That's taking somebody's spot. You know how I feel about that.
So we brought up, you brought up pay-per-views and get back to storylines and all that. And we talked about like when Cross debuted and how that just went by the wayside. Can we get like better debuts and what they do with talent when they debut? Yes. Right. Now, I like hype. I gave props to the women's street fight from last Saturday on Collision. I thought the women had a hell of a week this week as far as matchup wise and quality wrestling wise. Like, women stood out a lot this week. You know, Monday night, you had Katana and Kayden winning the tag team titles. You had the Becky and Nia segment, which I absolutely loved. I'm here for that match.
Yeah.
And great job to both of them. Like, I think Nia has been picture perfect in this. feud with Becky, but women debuting and not having nothing for them just to re-debut them. What the hell was that with Thunder Rosa? She's been out for damn near 2 years, and you bring her back and put her in there with the Abaddon storyline and having her get beat up by Julia Hart and Sky Blue. That's where you decided to bring her back?
No music, no nothing. Just hopping the barrier.
Hopping the beer, like that's how you're gonna re-debut Thunder Rosa, who was your top baby face in your women's division, who was your champ.
You were champion.
Who was in tears because she didn't know if she was gonna wrestle again whenever she dropped the belt due to injury. And you bring her back to that.
I thought that's you were gonna say Aladdin and Aladdin and Kaylee Ray. That's what I But yeah, she deserved better than that. Yeah.
Like, if you want to see where the difference is at with company wise, look at how they debut talent or re-debut talent when they come back. You think Charlotte is getting that treatment when she comes back in October next year after this knee injury?
She's coming back to a title match right off bat.
Oh yeah,
in the title match,
winning the title.
Hold up, there's somebody else going to be in this. It's now a triple threat.
Hold up, plan.
Look at how Bayley came back when she was almost out for a year. Where'd she come back at? SummerSlam.
SummerSlam.
In a major angle.
Yeah. In a major angle, Becky came back SummerSlam, even though she beat Bianca in 10 seconds, which I didn't like, but still. I mean, hell, look at what they did with Orton and Punk.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, if you have your upper echelon talent that are coming back after being gone for months and months and months.
For her years.
For her, almost 2 years. 18 months, I think it was, total. And you re-debut her that way?
You had either re-debut her like that, or the only other way Tony Khan knows how to re-debut somebody and shut off the lights. Those are your options with TK.
And you have a pay-per-view next week.
Yeah. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm glad Thunder Rosa is back.
Oh, yeah.
Huge boost to the women's division. But why'd you bring her back like that? What's next? You're going to re-debut Britt Baker on Rampage in Saskatoon?
Pittsburgh.
TK will debut her in Cleveland just to get the heat.
Like, come on. That's where you, like, you gotta know better whenever you have that. Now, do all talent deserve that? No. Hell, they did a better job with Statlander.
Yeah.
Coming back from her injury, beating Jade.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, oh, so great. Wait, oh, it made. No, it didn't. It did nothing for Thunder Rosa. People didn't even know who she was at first.
I didn't at all.
I seen the pictures and didn't know. Like, who's this walk?
Yeah, if you have your own fan base questioning your previous women's champion is who is that, didn't work.
I think the overall in pro wrestling for the theme today,
do very better. True, Taquan. Sometimes that's all you can give, though. When I mean, you know, not everybody's going to go 4-for-4 whenever they step up to the plate that game.
Bernie Mac used to say you got 3 seconds.
Maybe 5 if I'm taking my socks off. But yeah, don't do that. Don't re-debut your top talent in that manner again. They're top talent for a reason. You need to bring them back in a way that drives up the anticipation for the crowd.
Yeah. You'll be on BTE. That's what it'll be on. It'll be on BTE.
Yeah.
BTE's no more. That show's gone.
That's when it'll come back.
They all decided to take a step away, coincidentally, seems like.
It's still on. Now it's just the Dark Order show. BTE Dark
Order. Well, I mean, yeah, Nick and Matt, so much for the 2-year-old temper tantrum twins. We haven't seen them since they got done smashing chairs off a ring post.
Oh, they're getting a re-debut. They're getting a real good one.
I was surprised. I was expecting them whenever Jericho was talking about Kenny's,
diverticulitis.
Yeah, I was expecting both of them come in like, oh, you're the one that's going to talk about Kenny? Like, his friends can't even give him the send-off? Like, I kept expecting them to show up in the package.
We'll see where that goes. I mean, yeah. So what is Starks and Big Bill? They don't have a match now because Jericho doesn't have a partner.
It'll be a fatal 4-way now. We'll throw in 3 other teams.
Claims.
I mean, yeah. Bring back Sammy. Yeah. Bring back Sammy.
Yeah.
What Sammy always say to Jericho? I'm here for you. I always got your back. But right now, I can't rock with you. Well, Jericho's kind of changed his stripes a little bit. Now he's back on the side where Sammy can come back. And you can reintroduce like Sex Gods. Forget the Golden Jets. We got less Sex Gods back.
I forgot that man was even gone.
How many treads you going to throw in this tire? It's just too much.
Hey, no, I mean you gotta make an audible. Do you pull the match all together? Or do you throw something in that makes some sense because storyline wise, you got to make a change due to injury that was unforeseen.
I'd rather than bring in Mike Santana.
What have we talked about that's made sense here today? So,
Action Andretti, the guy you put over.
He's put him over some more.
You want to talk about a day? You want to talk about a debut that went nowhere? He debuted and beat Chris Jericho. And they've done nothing with him since.
Modern day Maven. That's all he is.
They had a 1-2-3 kid moment on the first night, and that was it. It was like, oh, you went to the wedding and you bagged the hottest bridesmaid for that one night stand, and that's it. That's your claim to fame. Nobody even calls you after the wedding to hang out no more. You just out by yourself. So re-debuts, my grievance. I had one. There, I found one.
Any others?
I don't want to say us because I don't put myself in that category, but just the internet wrestling community. I hate you.
I hate you guys.
Can we please bring it down a notch? Tone it down. Like, everything I hate about wrestling or wrestling fans.
You asked for a martyr miracle there. Yeah. Steven got a better chance of winning the day than that.
Are the comment sections hilarious? Yes. But just the everyday, it's just monotonous. Just enjoy what you enjoy. Like what you like.
Very true.
Yeah, I know we do Jabroni of the Week on this show each week, just, you know, as some, you know, a little compliment to the Mount Rushmore. But I feel like we've gotten a little bit better as far as not just being negative Nancy's on here for an hour and a half bitching and griping about everything that we see in pro wrestling.
As you say that on our Airing of the Grievances show.
Me, myself, you know me, I hated AEW in the beginning. I've come around. Yeah. I've put that hatred aside. The hate fuel. Yeah, we know the hate fuel.
Now, but, we don't have a specific game laid out for this week, correct?
Okay. Seth freaking Rollins.
Yep.
Damn, even Reyes catches trees.
Yep. Damn.
Yep. Rally the mother.
He is the most hated person for the podcast.
there's ties airing of the grievances now.
So the big thing in the internet community, just overall, was based off of this last week was based off of.
Damn,
I'm not putting that one up there, but that, you know, the side by side of Kenny and D'Lo is pretty spot on. But the internet community was in a buzz based off of a tweet that was sent out at the beginning of this week by former Pittsburgh Steelers running back Rashard Mendenhall, when he wanted to replace the Pro Bowl with the All White versus All Black Bowl. And I've been following this content all week, and it has been hilarious, right? Hilarious. Will Compton, from Bussin' with the Boys, may have had the best breakdown of how this matchup would actually work out. I've watched game simulations of this matchup play out. Like, I have been all here for this content all week long. So, because we're a wrestling show, let's transfer that question over to pro wrestling. We can do the bowl itself, right? Instead of the Forbidden Door, we can have the all colored bowl, right? We can have Team White versus Team Black versus Team Asian. Yeah. We're diving right into this.
Black white bowl, not the all colored bowl.
No, we're getting all the colors in there, right? We have
the, thanks for a wonderful 2023, guys. The show's canceled. We'll rebrand in 2024 as a different show just so we can get on canceled. But
what's the criteria? I got the criteria right here. We have the.
Team I think White. You already gave the criteria. Right?
we got it all. We can break this down. I've drafted squads of four, right? Maybe five. The old Survivor Series rule: five to stay alive, right? And I broke it down. We got, you know, Team Japan. We got, you know, Team Mexico. It's more of a You got more races in the wrestling world than you do in the NFL.
Is it currents?
Current. We're not going back. This is a rehash draft. No, we're going.
Black balls losing. What the?
No, you got, Bobby Lashley. You got Bobby Lashley.
You got Bobby Lashley.
Swerve.
Did you throw Will Hobbs already this morning?
Will Hobbs in there.
You gave me a main eventer in 8 mid quarters.
No, I did not.
The white side is gonna be all main eventers.
No, you got. Look, you got. I'll give you the black squad right now, just off the top of my head. You got Swerve, you got Lashley, you got Hobbs, and the Street Profits. There you go. There's your five right there.
They're all losing to Cody off top. 5-on-1.
You forgot the Samoans.
Well, that's the squad right there. Just the bloodline.
just the bloodline. Junior Fatu.
Get Jacob Fatu over here, Samoan Werewolf. You put him, Solo, the Usos, and Roman. I don't think that's anybody's it. Beating that five.
Cody. Cody's being all of
them. Finishing the story. Where does Drew fall? Let's see. You got Cody. You got Seth. Ah, no. Cody's a wild card.
No, you can't factor.
He's a wild card.
Well, no, wait, wild card because his mother's Cuban, so that is a wild card.
He's the head of both teams.
You just won the bowl, Cuba.
That's a sentence nobody has said ever. Cody is a wild card.
That's why he wins.
Switch team mid-match.
Lone Survivor, both teams.
Pull the Big Show.
Tremendous. Hilarious. But
nah,
you gonna put some squads together.
You can.
We're gonna start doing this show in person so we can monitor if Steve's drinking during the show or not.
Mm-hmm, okay. I'm gonna just go all light skin to piss Taquan off.
this ain't cool.
Rage, rage.
This is segment of the week.
See, drinking that Irish coffee over there.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to the all colored bowl.
Tremendous. What if Chappelle announce it?
We got commentary. We got Byron Saxton. Trash.
Michael Cole and Byron Saxton. Is that your commentary team?
You have to have one from every faction. So it's 4-man team.
Yeah, Saxton would be drier than it'd be terrible. It's Saxton is the only no, not Saxton. You got Caprice Coleman out there. What are you talking about?
Yeah, you got Caprice.
Get that bum Saxton off the squad. We got Caprice. I'm saying we, like I'm a part of the squad in my marriage. Where do I end up? What side of the am I on?
It was a trade. Me and Steve trade.
It goes off of genetics, not marriage, man. Talent is not sexually transmitted.
My kids would say otherwise. Byron Saxton makes Wayne Brady look like Ice Cube. There you go. That's the comment. That's it. Wrap up the show right there. All right. Anybody got any other grievances before we leave with positivity to get out of here before, you know, Christmas Eve? We will be on next week, correct?
Yes, we will.
For our year-end wrap-up,
yep.
Right? The Dub Marks, what's the criteria awards? We're giving all of our best in pro wrestling for the year, right? We got our categories. I hope you guys have been casting your ballots throughout the week.
I got to look at the categories again.
Maybe we should throw those categories up online during the week and get some votes and tally those up. get some fan engagement there, and then we can come on and give our breakdown for the year end awards that will be prior to the new year. So again, thanks for rocking with us. We love you guys. Thanks for tuning into the show. It's been a great Festivus 3 airing of grievances. As always, hit us up on social media at DumbMarksPod. Email the show at DumbMarksPod@gmail.com. Head on over to Pro Wrestling Tees, ProWrestlingTees.com/DumbMarksPod. Pick up some merch. We'll give you a live shout out on air. YouTube, subscribe, check the bell, get notifications. Spotify, subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. We got to build up that audience on Spotify. Anything else from you guys before I leave us with a positive quote of the week heading into the Christmas holiday?
Okay, that's what the last quote of the year.
Well, no, we got a quote next week. We got a quote next week. It may come out, you know, after the new year, but it'll lead into the new year here. I had it pulled up and then Instagram timed out on me. Hold on 1 second. I got to find it.
Isn't that the worst, man? You got a pair of titties on the screen and just be like,
no, my algorithm's not like yours, Jay. Okay. I don't got to worry about opening up my phone in public and getting caught. I'm surprised you're allowed to work in public with your phone. You got to work from home all the time with your phone. This dude got a privacy screen on top of a privacy screen. Like, he's doubled up on the privacy. Like, you double up on rubbers, only it ain't that first time adding more protection. All right. So with that being said, quote of the week, heading into Christmas weekend here, celebrating with you guys. If you were able to believe in Santa Claus for 8 years, you can believe in yourself for 5 minutes. If you were able to believe in Santa Claus for 8 years, you can at least believe in yourself for 5 minutes.
Spoilers.
No kids are watching.
Jeez.
It is still alive. He's out there. What are you talking about?